Live on 99.1 The Sports Animal and Fox 43 Sports in Knoxville, this is Tennessee Sports Night, presented by Provision Cares Proton Therapy. If you or a loved one has cancer, you need to know about the benefits of proton therapy. To learn more about your treatment options, visit protonbenefits.com. Now, to the studio for Tennessee Sports Night.
Time to kick off another week of Tennessee Sports Night. Good evening. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. We've got a lot to get to, and it's so hard to believe that while we just put the 4th of July weekend in our rearview mirror, Jimmy Hyams, 1 week from today, talking a lot of college football.
I'm looking forward to it. SEC Football Media Days, gosh, we've covered that for many, many years. Look forward to it. You can always pick up some good information from it, whether it's the commissioner with his opening speech, whether it was Steve Shaw, the coordinator of officials, talking about all the different rule changes, or whether it's the players and the coaches available to you. It is a great week of covering SEC football.
And we've got a longtime friend of the program that'll join us in mere moments to talk a lot of college football, and Mr. Tony Barnhart.
Yeah, we look forward to Tony. He's been covering the SEC for a long time. Mr. College Football knows a lot about this league. We look forward to getting his take on some of the potential topics that'll come out of Hoover.
You should have seen Jimmy Hyams between shows. He was warming up that arm. You're going to throw the book at some folks, aren't you?
I'm going to throw the book. You dead gum right. I've got a few candidates out there. One might be the critics of critics. And also recruiting. I don't think there's a signing day in July.
There's not.
I think it's in December.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little ways to go before we hit December, don't we?
So you're saying step back from the panic button.
Relax.
That's right. Take a breath.
Yes.
And then we also, with the Team USA getting the win in the Women's World Cup, second straight for Team USA, Brian Penske, Tennessee soccer coach, will give us his thoughts on a big moment for the red, white, and blue. We've got that. We've got Wimbledon. We've got last call. We've got golf. We've got home run derby. But why don't we go ahead and jump right back into college football?
And we have got Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football. Tony, how are you?
I'm fine, Jimmy. I'm going to stick around and listen to the rest of your show. That sounds like a great show to me.
Appreciate that. Tony, I want to visit with you about the SEC Football Media Days coming up, also with college football. Some of the rule changes. I want to get your take on this. Targeting, to have a targeting call, now you have to meet all three elements of what they define as targeting. Do you like that rule?
I do, because, listen, what you couldn't have was call a targeting, call an ejection, but there's not enough video evidence to really confirm it. And so we were saying the call stands. Well, that means there was not enough there. If you don't have enough there to confirm that targeting took place and therefore ejection should happen, you need to change the rule, which is what they did. The big question now to me, and I've talked to Steve Shaw and some others about this, I think there were about 179 ejections last year in FBS for targeting. Is that number going to go up or is it going to go down? I think it's going to go down because there won't be enough evidence to uphold some targeting calls.
They're also changing the overtime rule. It was a year ago. It was LSU and Texas A&M. It was something like 74-72. After the second overtime, got to go for two. Two-point conversions will determine that. Do you like that change?
I like that change. Now, listen, we don't have that was seven overtimes in that game. We don't have that. Those are very, very rare. But you got to have something to get the game over at that point. I watched every minute of that game, and those poor kids were just totally exhausted at the end. So at least you have, when you get to the fifth overtime, you're going to do it with two-point conversions. I do like the change in the rule.
Tony, always appreciate your time. Great to catch up with you. The transfer portal, no doubt about it, is going to have an impact on college football. Do you think there are any that stand out in terms of could really raise the hopes or be the missing puzzle piece for an SEC program this year?
Well, I think when you sit there and look at it, you got two graduate transfers at Arkansas, one from SMU and Nick Starkle from Texas A&M. There's no question there's going to be an impact there. The Neal kid who came to Vanderbilt from Ball State, where he played a bunch of football, he will probably end up being the starting quarterback. So there are five or six graduate transfers in there. And so guys, look, this is the wave of the future. If you'll go look, one of the you're going to have people looking at the transfer portal every single day, either looking for a quarterback or a backup quarterback. And some people have gone out and recruited backup quarterbacks from the portal because their backup quarterback left as soon as he found out he was going to be the backup quarterback.
The wind of change, the winds of change blew through the Southeastern Conference before last season. No turnover this year. Do you see any coaches, yep, though, that might be close to a hot seat as we head to Hoover?
I think the one where people jump out is Gus Malzahn. I think he's going to be okay, but you can never say that about Auburn because you don't know how it's going to play out. I think next year Auburn has a chance to be very, very good on offense. Other than that, you sit there and look around. You know, at Arkansas, Chad Morris just got there. Obviously, Dan Mullen, Georgia's fine. Mark Stoops is fine. Ed Orgeron's fine. You know, what's going to happen at Ole Miss? They were awful on defense a year ago, and he's brought in two high-profile guys to run. Maybe Matt Luke, although I don't think he deserves to be on the hot seat. So, you know, other than that, they're just guys that there's a bunch of new coaches, relatively new coaches, and guys who seem to be in pretty good shape. Keep your eye on Auburn. That's the one everybody's going to talk about most of the year.
Should you keep your eye on South Carolina with Muschamp if they don't have a very good year?
I don't think so, Jimmy. I don't think this is the year, and I don't think they're going to have a great year because they're way overscheduled. Their schedule is just, you know, Alabama rotates onto the schedule. They play Texas A&M every year. Obviously, they got Clemson. They got Georgia. They got Florida. So I see them as a 7-5 team. But they're in their first year. They just moved into their brand-new building, their $50 million office complex, workout complex. They've recruited well, but they haven't run the ball well or stopped the run well. So I don't think this is the year for Muschamp. I think next year is going to be one where they may turn up the heat a little bit.
In the West Division, which team is the biggest challenger to Alabama?
I think it's got to be LSU. What they have done, they've recruited exceedingly well. The defense is going to be absolutely great again. The big question mark is they bring in Joe Brady from the New Orleans Saints to juice up the passing game and to put in some RPO, which I wish
not sure if we lost.
Yeah, looks like we lost Tony for just a bit.
Yeah, one of the things he's talking about at LSU, they're.
Go ahead, Tony.
I'm back if you need me.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah. The question, if they're, you know, this. Okay, they're really going to juice up the offense, and they say they're going to add the RPOs in there. And if they do that, Joe Burrow is going to take more hits than he's taken in the past. Can he hold up under that, and how much does it improve the offense?
Who's the biggest challenger in the East to Georgia?
Got to be Florida. It's really Georgia and Florida in the East. And after that, I don't know about who's number three. I really don't. You can make the case for Missouri. You can make the case for Tennessee. You can make the case for Kentucky. There's a lot of different people who could finish third. But I think it's Florida and Georgia have sort of separated themselves from the rest of the division.
Tony, if you would, just give us a quick thought, your thoughts on Tennessee and the chance for the Volunteers to take a step with Jeremy Pruitt in his second season.
I think a bowl game would be really good for Tennessee this year. If you sit there, you guys know more about it than I do, but you sit there and look at that roster and look at the talent there. I think they're at least another recruiting class away, but I think hiring Jim Chaney was huge. He is going to help Jarrett Garantano immensely. And if they can run the ball consistently, I think they'll get to a bowl, but Tennessee to me is at least a year away, if not 2 years away.
Tony, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you a week from now in Hoover.
All right, see you then. Take care.
Thanks,
all
Tony.
Right. And that's Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. We'll get a break. When we return, time to throw the book at him on Tennessee Sports Night.
This segment of Tennessee Sports Night is brought to you by United Grocery Outlet. Shop us first.
It's Monday. You know what that means. Coming off of a long weekend, it's time to throw the book at him. Jimmy Hyams, who's in the crosshairs?
We're going to fire a book at him. Now, you see this book? This is a book about Nebraska football. Nebraska football under Tom Osborne won 3 national championships in 4 years, and they never had a recruiting class or seldom had a recruiting class in the top 25. Is recruiting important? Yes, it is. But right now, we are in July. You can't sign anybody until December, and then the second signing period is in February. Tennessee loses a commit to Mississippi State. That's not a good look. And yes, Tennessee is 11th in the SEC. It's a long way away. Tennessee is right in the middle of about a half a dozen players within the state of Tennessee that are outstanding. There are a number of other really good players Tennessee is on. It's not time to panic. It's a long way to go between now and December, a long way to go in recruiting. I think this is a very competent staff. I think Tennessee will be fine in recruiting. So just because they're ranked number 11 in the SEC right now, don't panic.
You look at where Tennessee is, and they've got 11 commits now after the decommit last week, last Friday. And the teams they're trying to chase, some of them have 19, 20, 21 commits. Now, obviously, as Jimmy said, they've got a decided advantage, but it doesn't mean Tennessee's not going to get there. Right. I also think the way this staff has operated, we have seen them come up with some nice surprises. There was the first year, the very first December signing date, they had a big surprise on that day. And then last year, they did a great job of finishing strong with a couple of big names that landed on February signing day. So I think they've earned a little bit of a benefit of the doubt.
Well, I think so too. And you mentioned losing the commit and others that have 18, 19, 20 commits right now. That means Tennessee has got more room to grow up the ladder in the recruiting chain. Now, I'm sure Tennessee will get to 25 somehow, some way, but there's just so much more time between now and then. There's a great quarterback they're trying to get, Haynes King out of Longview, Texas. There are other outstanding players Tennessee's right in the thick of. I just think it's way too early to wave a flag or to push a panic button.
I'm going to go with this book, and that is Smart Baseball. Don't know that we saw it last night in terms of the futures game. First of all, they put it after the celebrity softball game as part of the All-Star Week that is now taking place in Cleveland. So they shortened it to 7 innings. From that point, if there was an extra inning, which was the 8th inning, they then went to the tiebreaker, which now is in place in minor league baseball. That's starting an inning with a runner at second. So in the bottom of the 7th, the team tied it. The game was tied at 2. They couldn't score a run in the 8th, so all of a sudden they finished with a draw. All of that for a big bunch of nothing, Jimmy Himes, because first of all, it's the futures game. Why would you want to shorten it? If you want to go with extra innings, you want to go with a tiebreaker, fine. But I think folks in the All-Star game in that mindset want to see as much of the game's future as possible. Big opponent to shortening it to 7 innings.
When I think of baseball, I don't think of extra innings being 9.
Correct.
You could have gone another inning to try to figure this out.
Very much so.
All right. The women's soccer team. Congratulations, they win the World Cup, did a great job, but they drew the ire of some folks because Megan Rapinoe decides she's not going to go to the White House, and some others, some antics, maybe running it up in the first game. Some people were critical of that. Well, those folks got criticism from others defending them because the players have the right to the freedom of speech, don't they? Well, those that are criticizing what the women did, isn't that their freedom of speech as well? So if you're criticizing those that are criticizing the women's team, aren't you being a little bit hypocritical? It's okay to be critical either way. There are some things about the women's team I liked, some things I wasn't crazy about. If I want to pull for them, I can. But don't get on me for taking another position because that's my freedom of speech too. What we've learned, John, is this. If freedom of speech doesn't agree with your opinion, then you don't have the right to freedom of speech.
That's right.
Right?
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech exists for those that agree with me.
Yeah. Sometimes it should be on both sides, but unfortunately, many look at it differently.
Very much so. It was a very impressive run by Team USA to win a second consecutive World Cup. We'll talk with Tennessee soccer coach Brian Penske about that next. Stay with us on Tennessee Sports Night.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the sports animal.
With Jimmy Himes, I'm John Wilkerson. We appreciate you joining us on Tennessee Sports Night. And it was a historic run for Team USA as they won their second straight World Cup title, their 4th overall with a dominant performance. Here to help us break it down is Tennessee soccer coach Brian Penske. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me on again.
Yes, sir. Certainly appreciate your time. Was this the most dominant run for any Team USA you've seen in the Women's World Cup?
I think you have to say yes. You know, their victory 4 years ago didn't come without trials, you know, and tribulations. There were kids sitting out for players sitting out for card accumulation and a couple of injuries, and I believe a loss along the way. And I think winning seven games, never trailing, the way in which they their path, all of it. And I think you may know the numbers. They obviously won seven straight in this tournament, coupled with their final four or five wins in the last tournament. They broke the record for most consecutive wins in the World Cup. So you got to say it's the best team ever. 26 goals for, only three against. I think an all-encompassing dominant performance.
Yeah, the score differential was very impressive. Brian, one of the things about this team, you saw a lot of veteran players that played extremely well, and you see some very good young players as well. Do you think that mix is good for the future of the women's soccer team?
I think it's fantastic. You know, I think all good teams certainly need veteran players. You need veteran talent. You need veteran leadership. And then, obviously, if you're going to continue that tradition, you have to have young kids, young players who kind of touch the experience a little bit. And obviously we saw that in Rose Lavelle. It was her coming out party. She's fantastic. Unfortunately, every time I saw her, I thought about her scoring the winning goal against us in 2014 up at their place. And it was similar to what she did yesterday, just gliding with the ball for 30 yards and then finishing from distance. So there's no doubt. And to see Rapinoe and then Carly Lloyd come on and Julie Ertz, a lot of those players are showing the younger players the ropes. And that's what good leadership and that's what good teams are all about.
Do you think the torch has been passed? What do you think the team will look like the next time we see them, whether it be the Olympics or the next World Cup?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the Olympics are always tough because it's just one year. And so you get those veterans coming out, and I'm sure they all go in, players like Rapinoe and Lloyd, and, you know, those players that are, you know, a couple years into their 30s, they're starting to think this is the end. And now they're like, oh, maybe I can do it for one more year. Maybe I want to go win an Olympic gold. And so they try to, you know, and I don't blame them, they try to hang on. So I think each individual is going to probably make their own choice and their own decision and have those conversations with Jill Ellis. But I'm hearing that Jill Ellis is potentially going to take another role within U.S. soccer. So there may be a new coach on board. And I think it'd be fantastic if we saw more new blood because the Olympics matter, right? And those are games that matter, and there's no substitute for playing important games where things are on the line, and that's how younger players get experience. So obviously I think the next coach is going to, in a lot of cases, leave it up to some of those older players, but I'd like to see some of those younger kids continue to get a chance.
Brian, we have just a little time left. There can be a small line between arrogance and confidence. Do you think the women's team crossed that line of confidence?
Oof. You know, the only thing I didn't love about I had no problem with what went on in Thailand, in the Thailand game. I thought that was just spontaneous. It was just spur-of-the-moment excitement and fun and celebration. And as you saw, there were some lopsided games in the tournament, but nothing like 13-0. That was just a unique, different kind of situation. Honestly, I didn't love Alex Morgan's celebration against England. You know, I felt that the Thai celebration was just all about us and having fun and you know, celebrating. The sipping tea was a little bit of a shot at your opponent, and I just don't think that rivalry, while you love good competition and even a little bit of a rivalry, I don't know that I love taking a shot at England like that. Whether that is arrogance or, honestly, maybe it's insecurity, I don't know. But certainly there wasn't a lack of confidence, and we all know that good teams, good players all need a pretty healthy dose of confidence because that can lead to wins.
Mm-hmm. Coach, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time during the Women's World Cup, and, of course, it won't be long before your team hits the pitch. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you. And that's Tennessee soccer coach Brian Penske. They've just released their 2019 schedule. You can find that at utsports.com. Back to close out tonight's edition of Tennessee Sports Night. Last Call is up next.
And now, back to Tennessee Sports Night on Fox 43 Sports and 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Back to wrap it up with Last Call. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And Jimmy, of course, we've got Wimbledon playing out before our very eyes. And unfortunately, the run ended for one of All for Life and another with an incredible phenom that was showcasing your skills.
Tennis Sandgren had a great run. He won three matches. He had lost nine in a row going into Wimbledon, but he rose to the occasion, lost a tough one to Sam Querrey. There were 3-7-6 sets during the course of that. He was the number three player at Tennessee, and yet he's been the best singles player in the pros. And then you got Coco Gauff. What a tremendous player. 15-year-old, played well beyond her years, showed tremendous maturity, great competitor. It's fun to watch her make it to the round of 16.
And then you had a milestone, a major one. What about Roger Federer becoming the first ever to notch a 350th Grand Slam match victory?
Hard to believe he's 38. He continues to play very well. His skills, his movement, his serve, he's just been incredible. And to watch him, I just think we're blessed to be able to watch a player of Federer's caliber at the same time that we've got Nadal and Djokovic out there. I've been enjoying this last 15 years of tennis.
And what a way to get your first victory. But Matthew Wolf, what about the 3M Open Eagles, the 18th, for that first career victory?
He did, and it was kind of interesting. Bryson DeChambeau, Eagles 18, so he's got a one-shot lead, and he's thinking, at worst, I'm in a playoff, right? And so Wolf misses the green. He's just off the green, 25 or so footer, nails it. And DeChambeau's like, what just happened? Well, what just happened is you didn't get in a playoff. Wolf, 20 years old, won the NCAA championship about 6 weeks ago. He's from Oklahoma State. A great win in his third PGA event.
Can you believe that? What a way to start.
Absolutely.
Now I guess he's got to follow this up.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah.
And then it is now at the All-Star break in Major League Baseball, so no games tonight. The All-Star game tomorrow night, but tonight the Home Run Derby. What do you think in terms of the field of eight?
Well, it's an interesting feel. Yelich is out because of a back injury, but there's so many power hitters in baseball. I'm looking forward to it. I did see where Bell has been established as the favorite.
Is that who you like?
That's who I like. Yep. No, Alonzo. I'm taking Alonzo.
Yep. I'll go with Bell. Jimmy Hyams, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
We appreciate you. Have a great Tennessee sports night.